Welcome back, my friends, to the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and thank you for sticking with us. We will have time to examine this interesting case that's coming up, because this is a global case, the likes of which almost all of you are facing, I believe, who are listening today. Folks, remember, if you're having trouble filing documents or securing apostilles, please send an email to pfile, P-F-I-L-E, at hush.com. And if you're having difficulty finding a notary or dealing with your present notary, and by the way, all of your process should be through a notary. You shouldn't sneeze without a notary. Every time you sneeze, I expect to see a notary's hand come out of nowhere and wipe your nose. In fact, we'll have to double the capacity at the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat, so we have seats for the notaries as well as the people that they're attending with. If you need a notary, please send an email to notarydepot, D-E-P-O-T, at hush.com. Anyway, as you're preparing your bankruptcy remedy, you would compose a sample plan, and it's one day to collect. Now, picture it this way. Your debtor in bankruptcy, the straw party bearing the misnomer of your name, files for bankruptcy and lists on a form B, Schedule D, secured party creditors, which might include your friend Mike, your friend Gene, and your notary friend James, who's a representative and agent for the Secretary of State of whatever local state you have. Imagine that. One of those has a bona fide signed secured security interest, and so he is a secured party creditor in the debtor in bankruptcy. And that is signed by the debtor in bankruptcy, your signature by accommodation. The other one, the other friendly creditor, has an unsigned security interest, purported security interest, and lists it on the Form B-10, proof of claim form that all creditors ideally file with the bankruptcy action, lists it as a secured interest when it's not. Why would we do that? Because if you have claims against the debtor in bankruptcy from purported creditors who in fact are debtors by way of having been paid off with bonded promissory notes, and there are certified notary documents, notary judgments, swearing to that, swearing to the fact that they are not a creditor to the debtor, they are a debtor to the debtor, and hence they are a debtor to you, the living party. Anyone who does business with your debtor is your debtor, then they can be brought in at the creditors' meeting. And the other friendly creditors can start questioning them. That's your signature, right? Yes. What does it say below that? Penalty of perjury on the Form B-10. And what does it say at the top? Secured interest. Do you happen to have a copy of the security interest? Oh, you do. Where is it? It's stapled to it. Can you show me the signature? Oh, there is no signature. Do you happen to have an affidavit of probable cause signed by the debtor in bankruptcy? Oh, no. Do you happen to have a letter signed by the debtor in bankruptcy admitting a liability? No. Do you have any evidence of all of the existence of a security interest? Well, what do you have? And they'll say, these papers here. I see. And then you take a blank piece of paper, put numbers on them, or the creditor who's questioning him because he's in competition for the same money takes a blank piece of paper, puts numbers on it, hands it to him and says, what is this? And show me how these numbers on a piece of paper differ from your numbers on a piece of paper. Now, at that point, you have the trustee, and in fact, later on at hearing, the judge exactly where you want them. We'll review that right after this short break, and then we're going to get our guests on the line. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Please join me in 3 minutes.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back, my friends. All my country friends out there, welcome back to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, we were talking about packing the house with friendly creditors. Imagine, just imagine, let's say the formula that we had come up with a while ago was to have the debtor in bankruptcy file in bankruptcy, file the bankruptcy action. The debtor in bankruptcy has at least one large piece of property, personal property, in the form of an assigned lien or a portion of an assigned lien, or a portion of a lien that has been assigned to him from the living man who originally was maker of the bonded promissory notes to pay off the liabilities of the debtor in bankruptcy. But as you know, those instruments were dishonored. So the living man then takes a one-page document, an assignment, and assigns a portion of the lien over to the debtor in bankruptcy. Now the debtor in bankruptcy is flush in capital. Maybe $1 million, maybe $5 million, maybe $100 million. But keep it reasonable. I would suggest, if it was me doing it, it would be within reasonable terms. So let's say it was $1 million liability assigned against a particular bank that dishonored the payment instrument. So you walk in there with $1 million lien, an assigned lien against Wells Fargo, Bank of America, whoever it happens to be, or my favorite, KeyBank. And now, the creditors file their Form B-10s, and the creditors are listed on the debtor in bankruptcy Schedule D, Form 6D. If that were me, I would not list the bank as a creditor. They've been paid off, and I know it. Let them come in and file on their own. Let them take the initiative if they feel they're a creditor. And the first thing I'm going to do is file an objection to their claim based upon the evidence that there is no defect in registered public record number such and such, filed in county such and such, that notary public agent for the Secretary of State such and such has certified that they are in fact a debtor, not a creditor, that they have been paid off, that they have stipulated to the value and validity of the instrument, and that they have confessed judgment on the instruments. So that would be the first thing to object. And the form is right on our bankruptcy, collecting bankruptcy CD. The form to file the objection is ready to go. So that would be an initial step. But at the same time, we would be very tempted to have the living man come in as a creditor. But if you do that, haven't you identified this as a Patriot Action? You can do that. It is perfectly legitimate to wear two different legal hats, just like you might in a trust. You might be the grantor and the trustee until you pass away, and then a successor trustee takes over. That's a common thing in law, even though they will roll their eyes. You literally can look at a judge and say, Your Honor, I'm talking to you now on behalf of the debtor in bankruptcy, and you can take a step to your left and say, Now, Your Honor, I am addressing this court as the paramount first in line secured party creditor. I would personally have no trouble doing that, and I would place the onus upon them by saying, Do you have any objection? Now let the other guy say, This is nonsense. He can't do that. Excuse me. Judge, I think you better read Counselor his Miranda rights, because it sounds to me like he's trying to make a claim when he has already stipulated and confessed that no claim exists. So there are many ways to deal with that. But what if instead of you, the living man, going in as a creditor to the straw man with a name similar to yours, instead friendly creditors enter that forum, three of them, and both of them have, two of them at least, have purported secured security interest, bona fide signed security interest, but one of them is not signed by the debtor in bankruptcy. So now, if you take a party who purports to be a creditor, and one of the friendly creditors pins his back to the wall, boxes him into a corner, and gets him to admit under oath that he does not have a signed security interest when his Form B-10 signed under penalty of perjury stated that he did. And so the trustee goes ahead and says, well, I'm going to allow that claim. Excuse me? Well, we have the tools to deal with that. Number one, you will find a Federal Rules of Bankruptcy Code in the study notes, hotlinked, ready to go, that establishes, I believe it's in Title 28, that the trustee is under a mandate to report to the U.S. Attorney observations of any criminal activity that he or she should observe during the bankruptcy action. Ma'am, is it my understanding that your position is you are willfully violating 28 U.S.C., whatever that section number is? Is that your position? And refusing to report, to make an official report to the U.S. attorney of this criminal wrongdoing, you are refusing to refer the criminal activity for prosecution to the attorney. Is that your position? To the U.S. attorney? Let's say she holds fast. Then the friendly creditor with the unsigned purported security interest, with a date antecedent to the false claim that's being filed, steps forward and says, well, ma'am, in that case, if you examine my lien, it has no signature just like that lien. So if you let one in, you have to let both in. And my date is antecedent to his. I'm perfected ahead of his. I get paid first. Understand, if you don't pay me, I'm going to sue you through an adversarial action in this very case, and I'll put you into involuntary bankruptcy right here in your own court. So, my friends, when I say day two provided us with a lot of tools, I'm not messing around. I'm not telling anybody to sue the U.S. trustee. I'm not telling anybody to sue the judge. But I'm telling you, if any party, it could be a clerk, a U.S. attorney, a U.S. trustee, a bankruptcy judge, President Bush gets in my way as creditor, I'm going to charge him for the privilege of being joined to my claim, being joined to my security interest in the debtor. We're happy to welcome them in. If they want to share in the bounty of my $100 billion claim against the debtor, then they have to pay for the privilege or else disintegrate, get out of my sight, get away from my debtor. One way or the other, they have a choice. They can either pay me for the privilege of becoming a claimant against my debtor, or they can pay me for the privilege of doing business with my debtor. Either way, where's my check with kudos to Roger Elvick, who's rotting away in prison? Hopefully, we'll be out. So those are just some of the things that we think about when we're looking at bankruptcy. If you want to know more about that technology, the two-day bankruptcy seminar basically was what you just heard, a continual litany of those poor folks having to listen to the sound of my voice. Pity those poor suckers. But truth be told, I think we all got something out of it. I'll tell you this. I took away more from that seminar than I gave, as I do from all of my seminars. It was a wonderful learning experience. There were many fine folks there. I wish we had more time to spend with them. That's one of the reasons we do the five-day seminar. There is a chance for us to marinate in the technology, the goodwill, the good works, and the lofty divine spirits of all of these folks. So if you'd like to join us for that, by the way, send an email to robertat@hush.com. That's robertat@hush.com. Don't contact Roberta about ordering the collecting in bankruptcy seminar. That you would do from brian@takenoprisoners@hush.com. And now, let's go to some friends on the phone. Rio, Sharon, and Alice. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me.
Hey,
thank you.
Thank you,
yes.
Now, I don't want to be discourteous. I've been talking and spouting at the mouth here without stop, so I really want to get right into this case. Rio, you had given me a note. You attended the collecting and bankruptcy seminar, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Did it do anything for you, Rio? I know you came as my guest.
Yes, it was very enlightening. I learned so very much. I'm still trying to categorize everything and start using it in my own problems.
Yeah, well, you came in without a great deal of familiarity with BIC and the like. You're relatively new to it, but hopefully it will be helpful to you, and we'll be seeing you again at the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat in October as my guest, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, me too.
You wrote me a very kind letter here. You slipped it into my hand over my one lunch that I had about a case involving two friends of yours. Who'd like to bring us up to speed on a brief summary of what you're facing in that case?
Brief summary of what we're facing? Well, what we're facing, they're talking up to 20 years. It's federal.
This is a federal case.
Yes.
With a 20-year felony or felonies charged on record.
Yes.
What's it for?
It's basically we worked for a contractual mail order business with several disclaimers plus a refund policy. Based on customer complaints by individuals that contracted with this company, then used the materials apparently without understanding. In February, one of our company officers was picked up by the local police. And the mail she was picking up was seized. She was detained 4 hours and booked, but without being arrested. And the mail was seized at that time in June or July.
What were the grounds for the seizure? Mail fraud?
They said they were investigating a mail fraud charge.
Okay, under Title 18.
Okay, right, but they did not arrest her. They mugshot her and fingerprinted her, but they did not arrest her.
Okay,
and they did not
she didn't know what to do under those circumstances. All right. Well, that music, folks, means we're headed to a brief break. Then we're going to devote the rest of the program to this, what's shaping up as a very interesting case from what I can hear. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Please join me after the break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Take No Prisoners, the Saturday edition of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're here speaking with Real Sharon, Alice, and Sean. Forgive me if any of my pronunciations are incorrect. As Dale Carnegie said, and as certainly every patriot should understand, there is no sweeter sound than the sound of one's own name. So is it any wonder we take umbrage when they forge our names on documents and pretend that they have our authority? Anyway, who was that speaking before the break?
Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
So, Sharon, if I understand this case, I'm looking at the letter here that Rio was kind enough to give me. There was originally a civil judgment here.
Yes.
And the civil judgment was brought by a political party. I don't mean that in the sense of the Democrats or the Republicans, but by someone who had been the Attorney General of a state.
Yes.
And he was running for office.
Yes.
And so he used your case as some sort of political fodder to whip the masses into a frenzy.
Yes.
And are you angry about that?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
All right. Don't waste your time on anger. We're going to forgive him his liabilities and then give him an opportunity to pay off your debt. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Sounds good to me.
And so There was a $3 million judgment apparently held by the state.
No, it was 1.4.
It was 1.4. Who was holding the judgment?
The state.
All right. And they got testy about that, so they said, now we're going to move to criminal charges because it's not paid. And they came in with a SWAT team, and they picked up this girl, and they confiscated the mail and all of that stuff. And now you're expecting a grand jury invitation, correct?
Yes.
All right. So what are you doing about that?
Well, that's why we're talking to you. We are...
Well, that's mistake number one right there.
Well, we, in other words, we just launched ourselves onto this learning program.
Very good. Do you have any commercial remedy experience?
No.
What are the terms? What does the term BIC mean?
I think it means LSP, beneficiary.
No cheating now.
Beneficiaries,
no cheating.
In common.
Yes, beneficiaries in common. Do you know what that means?
What common means for all.
Okay.
Beneficiary means. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. First of all, the commercial remedies that we've been working with for a decade now, are based upon the principle of paying off any liabilities that are attributed to our debtor. We turn the straw party into our debtor with a security interest that we sign on its behalf by accommodation, and that we sign on our own behalf in our living capacity, or in rerum natura capacity. And then we try to execute our actions thereafter as a creditor rather than a debtor to the United States. Now, that's easier said sometimes than done. The latest reiteration of that is to place a deposit with the Secretary of the Treasury that is for the benefit of the Secretary of the Treasury and the Department of Treasury, as well as whatever accounts we specify it should benefit. And those accounts are specified on that deposit on the face of what's called an indemnity bond. It lists the account holders and the specific accounts. And we can get very creative with that. We can list all of the judges. We can list attorneys general, U.S. attorneys, senior counsels for agencies, and on and on and on. Whoever purports to have a claim against that straw man, because let's face it, there can be no commercial interaction with any party other than a straw party. A legal fiction, quasi-corporation, dead corporate entity can have no interactions, let alone authority, with or over a living man, unless the living man grants it either voluntarily or by his or her ignorance. So what we've arrived at is a method whereby we place a deposit into the Treasury on behalf of those accounts. And those accounts include our straw parties account and our birth certificate account. We've forgotten about that in the past, but remember that when mom completes that certificate of live birth, the application for the certificate of live birth, my apologies, and sends it on through the doctor to the county officials and the state officials and eventually the Department of Commerce, that she's not doing that for no reason. It's the same thing with a marriage license. I was pointing that out to a friend yesterday. What did you do when you applied for the marriage license? Well, I applied for a marriage license. Didn't you need, in your mind, did you need permission to get married? And she said yes. So you needed permission to get married. You were applying for permission. Doesn't that sound like communist China? Don't they need permission in China? And she said yes. And I said, if that happened in China, wouldn't you malign that? Talk about those. Yes. Permission to what? We have.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know what you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000 watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
My friends, welcome back. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm not sure if you heard my voice clearly when the music came on before the break, but just in case, let me just repeat that we are discussing a case that will take us from the beginning BIC technology all the way to mature enforcement. So in a situation like this, we are looking at a quote-unquote controversy of a civil nature as well as potential criminal charges and an invitation for the grand jury. So what we do in a circumstance like that is we understand what the BIC process is, and I'm going to wrap up on that discussion in just a couple of seconds. We file a bond with Treasury to place a deposit to the benefit of the strawman account and the birth certificate account. When mom applied for the certificate of live birth, what she really was saying, Sharon, was, "I am volunteering into the system my property, my children, as a commodity for the United States." There's no other reason to provide a certificate of birth. She could just as easily have certified their birth by writing it in the Bible, as was done for hundreds of years prior to the takeover of the United States by the corporation. So the United States is notified that all of the assets and labor of that entity, which is how they view it, is being pledged on its behalf. And they issue the certificate of live birth as a sign, as basically as a pawn ticket, a sign that that entity is now within the United States and entitled to all the privileges of citizenship in the United States, the privilege of the courts, the privilege of the driver's license, the privilege of being sued, the privilege of paying taxes, and the privileges of the roads and the welfare system, the privilege of limited liability. That's what happened. So we cover that account as well with a deposit. Once we have that deposit on file, we then route payment, visible payment, through that bond, through that account. We don't route it through a Treasury account or a Treasury direct account or a UCC contract account. No, we route it through the bond. They're holding the bond, and they know what it means, just like the sheriff that we spoke about earlier knew what it meant, or at least was able to find people to advise him who knew what it meant. And that's done through a bonded promissory note, and we name the bonded promissory note to the benefit of the fiduciaries listed on the note. And those fiduciaries might be, in a case like this, if it was me, those fiduciaries, if I had a judgment against me, would be the judgment holders. And if there's any liability remaining with the court, you see, when the attorney brought the case to the court held all the liability and looked for an acceptor of that liability, and you folks were happy to oblige by saying, yes, here I am responding to the summons, I'm accepting that role. But once the case is decided, that order then would transmit that liability to other parties, and that's who I would pay off with those instruments. We do that in either a simple or a complex presentment. In a complex case like this, we would use a complex presentment. It could be either option 3 or option 4 in the stage 1 folder on the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat CD. Those are contracts that provide to the recipient the specific information they need to process the instrument, the acceptance, the global acceptance for value, and all the notices that they need to understand that this is a bona fide administrative remedy, just like IRS or workers' comp or any other government agency conducts on their behalf. You send them papers, and if they fail to respond, they default on the papers and thereby agree with all of the terms and provisions therein. The best method for that, I believe, is our option 4, the commercial lien. Now, I definitely do not advise inexperienced people to use commercial liens. Many people went to jail for slapping liens on judges and other parties. So it's something one has to understand fully, including the risks of such a process, before one makes such a decision. But option 3 has our most extensive contract in a private letter form known as a private rogatory or as a foreign advisory, as I like to call it, because that really tells them what it is. We're giving them an advisory coming from a foreign jurisdiction. I am my own jurisdiction. All of you who are into county notary process will understand the process of being your own court. And we have been conducting our own courts for years by sending back defective process, abating defective process. Now, I don't expect you to understand all of that now, Sharon, but when you download this program, you'll have a chance to dissect my words at greater length, because I am talking now for the whole audience. What do I mean by returning defective process? Don't they send you process that names the straw party? Didn't you receive it?
Yes.
Was your name spelled correctly?
No.
Defective. Did it have dates listing the Lord's calendar, or did they have abbreviated dates?
I don't recall that.
Well, I'll bet you they didn't say documents that said executed this or signed this fifth day of the second month in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2007.
No.
Did it say that?
No.
Defective. So I form my own court and I send it back to them, and I've been doing that for a long, long time. We've incorporated some of that return of defective process into option 3. In fact, the very first paragraph tells them they are having faulty process returned to them. And that's why these procedures very often are quite effective. But we also do it commercially, letting them know that it is being paid off with the attached bonded promissory note. Please read the fiduciary instructions because we don't want you in trouble. Now, they are holding the instrument, and it's up to them what will happen. It is their responsibility to credit the account and return to the maker of the instrument an equivalent consideration. They made the offer, didn't they? And that's the way our letters start. Thank you for your offer to expand funds under public policy. They sent you a judgment. They send you a grand jury invitation. Whatever it is, it's a commercial invitation for you to send them money, but you've already paid. And my friends, if I've already paid, if I've paid for the seeds to plant the apple tree, I ain't paying for the apples. They better take it out of trade. And that's what our process tells them. And if they fail to do that, the process in 10 days will certify by way of a public official that they have confessed judgment. In other words, they have confessed holding the full liability. So if it's a $1.5 million judgment, I may send them $50 million. I may send them $5 million. I would decide, certainly, on felony charges, when they're at the federal level, they have a value of at least $400 million each. So we start staggering indemnity bonds in the amount of $300 million and a 30-year term every 4 days. 12 days later, we have $900 million in there.
Okay.
40 days later, from the 40 days from the date of the authoring or uttering of the first indemnity bond, we have $4 billion in place. Then we would issue... What we do in BIC is we issue an offset bond that routes back to all 10 of those or 3 of those or how many ever you need, and then we write the promissory notes against the offset bond because the offset bond is really serving as a routing instrument to make it all clear so that if we wanted to send, for instance, a promissory note in the amount of, you said 1.3 million?
1.4.
1.4, multiply that by 4, and perhaps that's a good figure, or multiply it by 7 or 20. You know, there's a biblical imperative for all of those. And send that to the holder of that note. And then I would take on the arresting officials and their department and their directors and anyone else and a U.S. attorney who's going to get involved in a grand jury action and maybe the foreman of a grand jury in advance. If it was me, and I would pay them promissory notes and discharge that liability in advance. Now, if they come at me, it may seem sort of a fantasy or phantasmagorical that this could actually be the truth, but if they come at me after they've been paid and they're coming at me under a commercial charge, and it must be commercial, their own codes and laws. 28 U.S.C. 3002 state that those crimes are commercial. If they dare to send me a bill when they've been paid, I'm going to take their confession of judgment. They confess to owing that amount. They confess to holding all liability. They confess that no claim exists, and I'm going to shove it down their throat in a nice way, first by giving them a three-day opportunity to make it right, and that's the stage two enforcement, which is a three-day offer of immunity that says, here is a proposed draft copy ready for you to edit, if I made a mistake on it, of a 1099-C in the amount of X amount of dollars, $50 million, reporting that as personal taxable gain to you. Here is a proposed draft copy of a criminal complaint which uses as its evidence your confession. The record that there's no defect in that confession to prosecute criminal charges against your straw party if you persist in an invalid claim when you've already certified no claim exists. Here is a copy of a distress warrant. Here is this. Here is that. It can be anything one wants. Here's a copy of the Treasury liquidation or the CID liquidation process to process your dishonor as the funds to be collected. What do we mean by that? If someone has dishonored your instrument under public policy, They are holding the liability. And liability in the United States is an asset. Just ask Ken Lay from Enron if he was alive. Ask his wife, who's living in her mansion, if liability is a viable asset. Ask anybody who ever bought a piece of gum if a liability instrument, a Federal Reserve note, can be used as an asset. Their liability is an asset. We ship it along to Treasury attached to a bill of exchange, and we say, take the funds out of their public hazard bond, out of their risk management insurance. And then, if after 3 days they again fall into dishonor, we might move them along into the bankruptcy proceeding I mentioned. There could be promissory notes coming from, what do we have, three people here on the telephone? It could be from three different people on the telephone giving them promissory notes. I'm not recommending that, but I'm saying if I had three involved parties, there might be three parties sending promissory notes, and then those three parties might show up as creditors in the bankruptcy. This is like going to the prom with Michelle Pfeiffer, Jessica Biel, Jessica Alba, and Cleopatra in your back pocket.
All right.
And I wouldn't stop there. I might provide them in that three-day offer of immunity the cover page from a lawsuit. I wouldn't even write the lawsuit. I'd use the Bill Gates method. I'd sell the product before I had it. And I might give them a cover page that says complaint along with the criminal complaint. But this would be a separate civil suit. Complaint and summons. And they might just get the taste of it on the first page. It would be a complaint to recover the stolen funds in the bankruptcy, which they have confessed to stealing. And slowly they get the point. Now, I know we're at the point of a break. Hopefully we're still live. Can you folks still hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. So all of those things might be inclusions, draft proposed copies marked in red ink, draft proposed copies for your editing and correction. No signatures on them. And we give them an opportunity to respond. Then if they don't, then I would deliver on my promises. I would not include a single item that I wasn't prepared to execute upon. Now, what we have happen, I got an email from someone. In fact, it's in my notes. Let me... There, we were disconnected. Are the gals still on the line? Well, we're alone on the line. I'm sorry? They're there. All right. Gals, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
All right. My apologies for being disconnected. But in the time that's left to us, we're going to pick up where we left off. Where did I drop out?
You were talking about drafting proposed copies in red for our editing.
Okay.
And you were going to look at a message you had gotten.
Yes. All right. Did I read that message?
No.
No.
Okay, here's an email. And the email came in and said to me, can you please cite a case in district or federal court where a bond has been honored and or transacted? Please include the date, case number, and court of jurisdiction or settlement document where a bond so proffered has been liquidated as payment for the disputed obligation. Clearly, this fellow doesn't have a belief in commerce. And that's fine. I respect that. My answer was, Dear Larry, you got me. And I'll give you the rest of my answer when we come back. It will be clear how the private remedies I just discussed affect the public. You're listening to Take Prisoners at Public.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Welcome back, my friends, to the final segment of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. My apologies for the technical difficulties we've had this afternoon. We are going to pick up this case tomorrow night as well. Let me just read you my response to the commercial skeptic whose email I read before the break. I wrote, Dear Larry, you got me. And then I said, actually, bonds and other securities go to Treasury, Larry, not to the court. and I use them the way I use them, then I know I have something to draft against. The rest happens privately, and that's my message to you gals. I told Larry, lots of warrants issued remain in the computer, and the living men go about their lives as usual, including flying across borders. There were at least a dozen people at the collecting and bankruptcy seminar who have filed BIC private issue documents like we've been discussing, who have warrants issued against them, and who are traveling around free men, flying on airplanes, even crossing international borders in one case. And that's because these warrants can rest in the computer and not be issued publicly so they can maintain their public face. I don't give a hoot what appears in the public myself. That arena is foreign to my divine court, which is what I am doing when I am paying things off privately. Now, that probably doesn't make sense to Larry, and it may not make sense to you gals, but based upon our discussions here today and after you download a few programs, perhaps it will have more meaning. And that's fine. It takes time. You may not be ready for this kind of an intervention, or you may. One should not be using commercial principles unless one is versed in them and has complete confidence in them. And then we resist every temptation to make an appearance on the public side. If we are dragged in to make an appearance, understand they can only hold one for 72 hours legally. If you don't sign any pages, if you don't sign any papers, if you don't sign a confession of being a U.S. person, and all four of you gals might want to think about that in anticipation of situations that may develop. It takes time to rewrite the decades of programming that's in our brain and the generations of cultural amnesia to which all of us have been subjected.
Yep.
But that starts now. And only you can decide, ladies, what is appropriate for you. Are there other strategies for dealing with grand jury? Sure. We can take constitutional approaches. We can take pre-constitutional approaches and send them back their documents as defective. We can send them back documents saying, here's an affidavit of negative averment in which I deny any corporate status and I deny being responsible for the liabilities of the debtor. And now, I will be happy to appear to ask you to place your credentials on record and to ask you, I won't be able to answer questions rightly to be addressed to the debtor because I'm not authorized to do so. If you want to present the debtor, go and find the birth certificate. It's your business. But I will be happy to appear in my capacity as a creditor to ask you, and then it would be ask you whatever you want to ask them. If you have paid instruments, it would be to ask them, what did they do with the stolen funds that was certified last seen in their possession? So, ladies, I'm sorry there's no time for additional questions, but by all means, call in again tomorrow night, and we will pick this up. My friends, I hope this was... Thank you, ladies. God bless you. And I hope this program was beneficial to those who listened. We're covering a lot of material between now and the October Law Merchant Leadership Retreat, folks. If you want to attend it, please download these programs. Send an email to robertat@hush.com. We will see you tomorrow night, Sunday, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the next edition of Take No Prisoners. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thanks for joining me, and God bless to all of you.
It's true.